Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith, and I'm here with a giddy evil genius.
Tell us, man.
Tell me why you're giddy.
It's a good time to be a Cleveland fan again.
So lay it on me.
Well, in addition to our young Cavs that we're going to talk about, we'll cover the last two games, the big win against the Raptors and the tonight's near win against the Sixers, even though they were extremely shorthanded. I am giddy because somehow John Dorsey transcends time and space and is able to make NFL deals that he should have no business making.
So break it down for me, because I do not follow the NFL. So
in the space of really an off season and a half, John Dorsey has taken the Cleveland Browns from an 0-16 team to a team that Las Vegas just gave 7-1 odds to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah. Who knows if that'll bear out? I mean, being a Browns fan, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. But the amount of change he's ushered in such a short amount of time. And granted, the guy had a track record. He built the Chiefs.
Speaking of the Chiefs, their linebacker is going to hit the market, Houston. So maybe Brian Houston, I think is his name. He might be a target for Dorsey.
They're sending D Ford to the 49ers that they just announced.
The Browns are?
No, Kansas City.
Oh, okay. So what is – break down the Browns news today, because I don't know what it is.
So a lot of people were sort of excited for John Dorsey to do what he did last year, which was he executed like three or four trades in the few days leading up to the start of free agency, and including bringing Jarvis Landry to the Browns last year, who's been a pretty serious recruiter, much more so than like LeBron James ever was, even for guys to come to Cleveland. And then on top of that, you had Baker Mayfield, who was working out with a lot of these guys. And there'd been this sort of groundswell of support or kind of insanity, really, just among the fan base talking about Odell Beckham Jr. coming to the Browns.
Is he good?
And I mean, I'd say he's probably a top five receiver in the NFL.
Okay, I do know who Odell Beckham Jr. is. I was just giving you a hard time.
Oh, okay.
I'm not that out of the loop, but no, he's a very good receiver, a very fiery personality as well. So,
it gotten him in trouble last year and a little bit the year before that because he'd been outspoken about Eli Manning and being in decline and not really getting him the ball the way he wanted to, and all of those things are true, but you don't want to be the guy that's the squeaky wheel about it, because then you're seen as a malcontent. So, And he's had some issues with injury over the last couple of years too, so that's always a risk. But the Giants had shopped him last offseason for 2 number 1 draft picks, and that wasn't the time to go after him, I guess. But you know, their GM, the Giants GM, said at the combine or the week before, Beckham Jr. did a huge contract to trade him. But then today they turned around and traded him to Browns for a number 1 pick, a third rounder that the Browns picked up from trading Danny Shelton to the Patriots last year, and Jabril Peppers, who up until about halfway through last season was kind of, was really kind of being ridden pretty mercilessly by Browns fans for not being living up to his potential. And then the second half of last year, he really kind of stepped up and was good. But I think that was the price that Dorsey felt he had to pay to get a top 5 receiver in the game to be the Browns' number 1 receiver for Baker Mayfield to throw to. But now the rumors have come out that they might also be signing Earl Thomas, the Super Bowl safety from the Seattle Seahawks, to a 3-year deal who would replace Peppers. So that would actually be an improvement at that position. So you got a hand to I don't think the city of Cleveland has seen a GM the likes of John Dorsey. And credit to David Griffin, who was the GM that brought the first championship to the city in the last
52 years.
This job might be even more impressive. I mean, because with Griffin, you had LeBron James as the lure, you know, to kind of build around. But in this case, I mean, I guess you say they're building around Baker Mayfield, but he's only been here for a year, so.
Yeah.
We'll see. Anyways, I'm just excited as a Browns fan and a Cleveland fan in general. I like it when my teams are good, and it gives the rest of the world an inability to make fun of them.
Yeah, well, and it was a bit of it was definitely a lackluster offseason for the Tribe. And
yeah.
And a bit of a
Yeah, they really kind of just were in the yeah, they were in the getting rid of players mode rather than assembling assets. Although, yeah. Let's say watching spring training a little bit, some of these young outfielders are promising.
Yeah, and you never know. So, it certainly and they have one of the best managers in the game. So
they do,
and that division is very good. So maybe building a little bit for the future is. Oh my Lord, Aces.
What happened?
Sorry, Hardaway Jr. just. Like acted like he got shot in the. Are you watching?
No,
but like, so DeMar DeRozan put his hand up, and then Hardaway Jr. like it was like reenacted the Zapruder film. I mean, it was like ridiculous. I'm excited for the city. I mean, this team goes insane for the Browns, and I personally am not a football guy, but yeah. I get it.
And if you were, I have been a football guy
in my life. So, yeah. And I'm excited for the city. I'm excited for Browns fans because Lord knows if anybody has suffered and deserves a reward for their suffering as in, you know, sports purgatory, it's the Browns because they've lived that pain for a long time. I mean, they probably the most tortured fan base in the NFL, I would say. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, no one else has actually lost their team. I mean, except for St. Louis and San Diego, but I mean, at least St. Louis got a championship or two before they left for the second time. So,
yeah. True. Oh, look, it's been 20 years since they came back, and it's been 20 years of just, you know, silliness. And, I mean, there was one playoff appearance in 20 years, and that was early on, and it was kind of a It was kind of a lucky thing, really.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and then,
you know,
and you look at who the centerpiece of that. I mean, it was Kellen Winslow Jr. who is in jail now. Like, he just looks like a dumpster fire of a person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that whole, and I remember, because I remember I played a lot of Madden then, and they were really fun to play with the next year, and then they were never fun to play with again.
No, no. Except, but anyways, that's just sort of my overriding giddiness about another sport. But we should circle back to what the Cavs are doing, which is, you know, I would say I can say nothing other than I've been really entertained by this young team
and impressed
really since the All-Star break and before. I mean, they've started to. It just giving some of these guys some playing time and finding some interesting combinations to team these guys up. And it just seems to be a good, like, especially since Love came back, like, there's just this great camaraderie that seems to be building amongst these guys. Even the guys that probably aren't going to be here next year. Like, it feels like, and it's not just a bench bunch like it was with you know, the I always forget the name of it, the Luke Walton.
Oh, the Herculoids.
The Herculoids, yeah. It's actually the starters. You can see the progress that Colin Sexton is making. I am amazed at how far he's come from the guy that really wasn't, you know, really didn't have his timing down, really didn't know how to use the backboard, didn't know really how to use his speed, was kind of a train wreck on defense. Was shooting like put up a bunch of like 3 for 12s and 4 for 16s and now something's clearly clicked where he's using his speed, he's modulating, he's really forcing the ball or really kind of forcing the action on made baskets and missed ones, and he's shooting the three like, I don't think any of us thought he could.
No, I don't think you'll see one scout who watched him last year that would say that they expected him. I mean, he's becoming a legit knockdown shooter, like 4 of 7 tonight. What was he last night? 6 of 9?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. He was.
And he was 4 of 7 tonight, you know, like you said. Yeah. I mean, he. And then also. Jetty Osman's been hitting the three incredibly well, really since the beginning of the year.
Well, and Ben Wirth pointed this out last week, but they've really turned over the point guard duties on the starting lineup, or at least the playmaking duties, to Jetty Osman and to some extent Brandon Knight. But really, Jetty Osman has been leading the Cavs in assists the last several games. I believe that the game before this one, the Raptors game, which they won by, I believe, 26, going away, he had 19, 7, and 7. I mean, he had a very, very good game. And they've simplified the game for Colin Sexton. They're not asking him to make complex reads. They're basically, hey, go attack the basket, attack in transition, shoot open threes. If you get an isolation, try and score. But if not, give the ball up, and he's a willing passer. I would say the only guys who's really disappointing me lately, Jordan Clarkson was a train wreck tonight, and really was part of the problem with their offense. He was 5 of 20, 0 of 8 from downtown. He was plus 1 for the game, but the Cavs only had 14 assists this game, and a lot of it was because he just forced so much action, and they really didn't swing the ball. And when he got in, like, I saw a play towards the end where he went 1-on-3 in the paint, and one of those three was Embiid. And,
yeah, that was a rough play. Yeah,
yeah. I think it was Nwaba he ignored in the right corner. It's like, you got to make that pass.
Yeah,
you know, and even but. Aside from that, and Clarkson had a decent game the night before, but
well, he hustled tonight too. He did hustle. Yeah, he just shot terribly and made some bad decisions on that.
Yeah, and I really feel like not having Deli out there with him hurts him because I feel like he's got to do too much. But
no, instead he's got Stauskas out there with him who actually played a decent game, but is
the
not
last two nights.
Yeah, not going to be necessarily the assist man, although he did have four assists in 17 minutes. So
yeah, and he played point guard last night. He was a playmaker last night. So definitely we've seen some moments from Stauskas in the last week and a half. He had that dunk.
That
baseline dunk. Did you get to watch last night's game?
I got to watch it on when I got home on.
Okay, good, because it was a really fun game.
It was. It was really kind of like cool to see them. Every time Toronto would make a little run, they just took control, and guys were just hitting great shots. I mean, taking great shots and hitting great shots. And Toronto's a really good defensive team.
And the other thing that Cavs are doing now is they are not taking the long twos. They are taking threes. I mean, they shot a boatload last night, and they shot 38 tonight. And they only made 13 of them, but part of that was they were atrocious in the first quarter.
They were 6 of 27 and over 7 from 3 in the first quarter.
With a minute left in the first quarter, they had scored 8 points.
And if you take that out, the rest of the game they were what? 34 for like 80.
Yeah, which That's is a much a better, better percentage from the field. Yeah, and they
and
scored
13 for 31 from 3. So,
yeah. They scored 8 points. They had an 8-point first quarter going into the last minute, and they had two quick buckets that saved it from being an embarrassing 8-point quarter. But
yeah, I mean, they were just, I don't know if they were tight or they
I think it was a combination of they didn't have any of their normal rotations. I mean, Chetty was starting at the four again.
Yeah.
And Nwaba was at the three, and then you had Zizic, and so that was a problem. And then they had played the night before. They were tight. They didn't have they just seemed way out of sync. And
they didn't have Kevin Love either. I mean,
no. Yeah.
To be honest, like before when Kevin Love plays, not only Kevin, I read a stat like the Cavs have a winning record over their last 9 games. I think they're 5-4. And then the Celtics were 3-6, and the Lakers were 2-7 over the last 9 games.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. They've outplayed the Lakers since the All-Star break. Then in the second quarter, they had a 35-point quarter. Chetty Osmond had a big 6 points. Colin Sexton was electric in the second quarter with a 4-7, just really using nice body control on his drives, shooting the quick trigger jumper. Nick Stauskas, a nice 6-point quarter.
Brandon Knight was hitting those mid-rangers.
Yeah.
Like he can.
Yeah. Brandon Knight has been a pleasant surprise of late. I mean, I think the biggest problem that you'd say that plagued them in the first half was just way too many just wide open dunks, like just losing their guy. Like the rotations defensively clearly weren't there.
Philly does that to you though.
Well, yeah. And plus when you're completely scrambled in your lineups, not used to playing the position you're playing in, that's going to happen. And yeah, Philly does that to you. And they had too many just wide open, dunks, and that hurt them, but Philly could not stop turning the ball over. I mean, I think on the night,
Embiid had 6 by himself.
Yeah.
And they had, they had 21 turnovers.
Yeah,
to 7 for the Cavs.
Yeah, so. And that's the other thing the Cavs have been doing of late, not turning the ball over. And, you know, say what you want about Colin Sexton, he has been not turning the ball over. And he doesn't, I will say, Sexton doesn't make the fancy pass, but he doesn't make stupid passes very often either. Like a lot of times it's the easy, obvious pass and it's more for resetting the offense, but he also,
he'd have had 4 assists tonight if guys weren't missing like crazy in that first quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, and Zizic, another very nice game.
Yeah. He's really been impressive. Zizic.
Yeah. Great footwork.
I really like his footwork. Yeah, I was going to echo you. You really like his footwork.
He's got an unblockable hook shot.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, he played some amazing defense on Embiid. And now I will say this, Embiid looked a little disengaged early on.
Yes.
So
would be an understatement.
And it's only his second game back after really he's been out since the All-Star break. So, you know, 8 games out and, you know, he turned it on when he needed to. You could tell he's got that sort of LeBron-ish ability to take over a game.
Oh yeah, I mean he had a monster dunk of his own miss down the stretch, which pretty much sealed the game.
It's one of the hardest dunks I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I mean it was one of those like you equate it with like Shaq breaking the backboard kind of dunks.
Yeah, it did look like he could tear the rim down, and but I mean Zizic played really well for, you know, 3 quarters. I was a little surprised he didn't get more run, to be honest with you, because he played 34 minutes. That's pretty. I read that as 24. Sorry, but I mean 12 points, 5 rebounds. Definitely had a better rebounding night the night before, but yeah, you know, another solid game.
He had love in there the night before too.
Yeah. So. The other thing I love about Zizic is he is such a like fundamentally sound finisher. Like he always high off the glass, can finish with either hand.
I just wish he dunked a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like he almost, and I don't want to use a comparison because the guy was so much better, but he reminds me offensively, not defensively at all, because there's no comparison, but just the way he's so fundamentally sound, he reminds me of Tim Duncan a little bit. Like just always high off the glass, really high release point. Can finish with either hand. Really nice spin moves. Definitely not as quick a first step as that guy had. Just super fundamentally sound. I mean, I'm always. Yeah. He's got a really nice two step and finish too. So and he had a.
But like if he goes for the dunk on that last bucket that Embiid quote unquote blocked, and he did get ball, but he definitely got a lot of body too. But if Zizek dunks that instead of just trying to like lay it up. That's probably does get called a foul and he's at the line shooting 2 and potentially cutting it to, you know, to a 1-point lead.
Hold on one second. So yeah, what were you saying about Zizic?
Just that if he would have gone for the dunk rather than the layup on that last with like 45 seconds left.
Yeah.
Because it really looked like Embiid fouled him, but you're not going to get that call unless you go up strong.
Yeah, and the problem is when he fouled him, he probably went through the off arm, and it's really hard to get that call if you're not a jump shooter in the NBA.
Yeah.
In the last 2 minutes of a game. But yeah, I thought he made a nice move. I actually thought a pump fake might have been a good move for him there too. But
sure.
Although, you bring up a point that, man, does Embiid get away with a lot of contact.
Dude. Embiid is like a 7'1" James Harden.
Yeah, but Embiid, like, defensively he gets away with so much contact.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, like, he had that one, like, 2 plays earlier where Jordan Clarkson drove, and did you see him duck to get out of the way? Yeah. And he, like, undercut Clarkson, and Clarkson's like, how do I not get a foul? He's sitting there hunched down, and I almost fall over him in the paint, and I don't get a foul call.
Yeah.
So, but
he's getting star calls already, man. Yeah. Although it's funny, you look back at that draft and you think, well, the NBA got that one wrong. You know, I mean, with Wiggins going 1, obviously that didn't matter.
Parker 2,
but like, I don't think either one of those guys will have anywhere close to the career that Embiid does.
No, and although you have to say also, it was a big risk because Embiid had, you know, you don't know if Embiid heals from that foot injury.
Sure.
You know, he had 2 surgery, missed the better part of his first, I think he missed almost the entirety of his first 2 years.
But think about this. Had he not, Cavs probably take him number 1. Do they, and they still probably send him to Minnesota for Love, in which case Embiid probably becomes a superstar in Minnesota.
And then they probably don't draft Towns, though, you know.
True.
I mean,
it's just amazing how much Wiggins has dropped off.
But that's the best part about winning a championship, winning the greatest championship in NBA history. You have no regrets.
No, there's no regrets. And you know what?
Because I wouldn't trade it for, there's very few things in this world I would trade that for. So
yeah. I was actually going to write a piece about, and I might still, if I don't talk too much about it here, just about Kevin Love being just that, the kind of the hero that the Cavs deserve. You know what I mean? Like,
not the hero they wanted, but the hero they deserved.
Well, yeah, because you think about it, like, of all the guys, like, Kyrie is miserable. Like, somebody wrote an article about just how miserable Kyrie is.
I said it, what did I say last podcast? Annoying and bitchy. That was an actual NBA writer, like, described him as such.
But that's who he is. Yeah. That's who he will be. Like
they were talking about it.
I don't know that Kyrie gets, past that
label.
You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of that guy. Like, I wonder, and Kyrie must wonder, has he peaked? He won a championship, as you said, the most incredible championship maybe of all time, with the biggest shot in NBA history.
At least in finals history, yeah.
And you got to wonder, like, is that his zenith? Like, does he ever approach that again?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean,
like, maybe if he and KD both go to New York and they build a super team there, maybe.
You know what that reminds me so much of, though? Stat and Melo.
Yeah. Although KD's a lot better than Melo.
Well, that's true, but Stat and Kyrie have similar knees, although Kyrie never had microfracture surgery, which is kind of a death knell. But I mean,
Kyrie's still maybe one of the all-time great finishers. So,
oh, absolutely. He's just, as you said, a miserable human being.
How much does it suck to be LeBron right now, too?
Well, it's even
playing out the string with a Lakers team that's definitely not making the playoffs.
Well, I think the only thing worse than the Lakers being a laughingstock, which they were for the last 6 weeks, is now they're completely irrelevant. Like, nobody's even talking about them now that they're out of the playoffs. It's over.
Yeah.
You know, and that to me has probably got to be more galling than anything. I mean, he's not even in the spotlight to be chastised anymore. You know, he's Sarah Palin now.
Man, that's brutal.
But
that's just it. And then it'll come back to him once the finals are over, and free agency starts to kick in the summer. And who knows? I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Lakers were one of those teams that magically got in the top five because
pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those guys are idiots.
Oh, Magic.
Rob Pelinka.
Majinka.
Like, I don't know why they ever thought hiring Rob Pelinka was a good idea.
Yeah. But, I mean, and we've kind of beaten that horse to death. But, you know, Kevin is just bringing joy to this team.
I think Kevin's going to be around for the duration. I really do. Yeah. I don't see why. Why would you get rid of him at this point?
You wouldn't, especially with as well as the Cavs are playing right now. They're, you know, going to end up with it.
He's the perfect all-star. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He likes Cleveland. He likes playing with this young team. Yeah. He's not super old yet. He's only 30. Or is he 31 now?
I think he's only
30.
Yeah, he's 30. Yeah.
I think it'll be 31 next year. But but you think about it, like, yes, the injury thing's a problem, but he's also
one of the league's best shooters right now. I mean, he is shooting lights out.
Oh my God. And passers.
Yeah.
And rebounders, and defensive anyway.
I'm so amazed. Like, the most underrated thing about Kevin Love is Kevin Love's hands. Like, he just has if he gets one hand on a ball, I feel like he's going to get it. Like, everybody always used to talk about, who was the power forward for Memphis for so many years?
Z-Bo?
Yeah, everybody used to talk about his hands. But last night, I saw, you know, Chetty just fire a laser into the post in like the last 2 minutes, and Kevin Love just reached out, grabbed it with one hand, and, you know, the post up was on.
Like, well, not only that, I actually think the other underrated thing, and this goes, you can track this all the way back to the that crazy game against the Lakers in that championship season when he took that charge, right?
Oh yeah,
he or was it, no, it was the season before that. I know he took four charges last night.
Yeah, I mean he was great. He's actually one of the in the tops of defending interior defenders this year. I mean, it's just
I feel like he's teaching these other guys during practices too, because they're all doing it now.
Yeah,
like Jetty's been doing it a lot. Nwaba has had a great one tonight, even though Nwaba's a good defender anyways. But just love that. I mean, these guys are willing to, because that's really the. I feel like that's the ultimate measure of how a team is playing together. If guys are willing to just sacrifice their bodies and take charges like that, and kind of push all in for. To sell out defensively.
Absolutely.
And then you get a real sense of like guys are having a good time with it and they're recognizing each other for doing it too.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? He said, we're playing for each other.
Yeah.
I mean, let's
how excited they were last night when Channing hit that three in garbage time.
So yeah, let me take it back to, I guess I do feel like we got to cover the Sixers a little bit. Six guys in double figures. Ben Simmons with 27, 10, and 8. And then, you know, Embiid with 17 and 19. A pretty ridiculous game. But then you had Colin Sexton tonight with 26 again after 28 last night. So,
yeah,
a super night for the Cavs. And then Chetty Osmond with 18, 8, and 4. So
his three-point shot's looking really good.
Yeah, I mean, Colin Sexton, the thing that's impressing me more than anything right now, not only the accuracy on the 3-point shot, the release. I mean, his release is getting quicker and quicker every game. I don't know who the Cavs shooting coach is, but that guy is doing a really good job. I mean, I feel like the Cavs have gotten better all year shooting the basketball. And the Cavs, a really nice effort tonight. Especially after, you know, playing their hearts out against Toronto the night before and being severely down or undermanned. And then, yeah, let's go back to
the Toronto game,
which was probably their most complete win of the season against a very good Toronto team.
Are you feeling better? I know you weren't feeling good last night.
Oh, I would not have been able to pod. I didn't have much of a voice, but I am feeling better. So
good.
I think the Cavs, had a little Cavalier healing last night. So
was impressive. That win. That crazy scuffle at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah. Where,
well, it was Marquise Chris
and
got shoved kind of by
Serge Ibaka
and then Ibaka fell down. And then Chris must have said something because he's looking down at him. And then he walked away.
Supposedly, what he said was stop with that SH blank blank. Chris was accusing him of flopping.
But shouldn't warrant that kind of reaction. Something must have been going on during the game that just led up to that, because Ibaka. Ibaka's a hothead, but he's not that. I mean, he literally ran up behind him, grabbed his throat, and looked like he started to choke him.
Yeah, so there were so many, great moments of that, you know, pseudo fight. I mean, so I read a lot of Raptors takes on that, and there's a couple things. First, Chris, it was a full court play with a second left,
right.
And Chris locked his arm, basically, so that he couldn't jump. And so I think that, and the refs didn't catch it clearly, but that pissed Nwaba off. But also,
you mean Ibaka?
Ibaka, sorry.
But same thing.
No, not. I don't think Nwaba is from Africa, but
no. But Nwaba Ibaka, it's sort of the similar,
phonetically,
like
phonetic, similar.
Phonetically, yeah.
So Ibaka also has a reputation for just getting himself super pissed off and taking himself out of games. He's done it more than once in his career, or more than two or three times. So
yeah.
It's, and obviously was the last thing Toronto needed at that point. And I think he was just kind of fed up and lost his cool. And that was kind of it. And somebody told me, and I didn't know if this was true or not, but that this is like Chris's third or fourth fight already that he's been in the NBA.
Really?
Yeah. Which to me is like, in a way that almost makes me like him a little more because he does so many other things so lackadaisically.
So poorly. Yeah.
Well, it was funny because I really thought that it was one of Chris's better games. That game, I mean, he was 0-3. He only had,
but he had a good chase down block on Ibaka earlier. Maybe that pissed him too.
Well, he actually played decent positional defense. Wasn't letting guys blow by him. Had some box outs. You know, a not awful game from what we have seen from Marquese Chris. And then yeah, he got kicked out. But I mean, the story of that game wasn't as much about that moment as it was about, I think the Raptors expected the Cavs to go away and they just never went away. And then they just out executed them down the stretch as the Raptors, and kind of the Raptors' whole game plan was just running out after makes and misses and not really worrying about a half court offense so much.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of wide open dunks, especially on makes, which was weird. And I think they kind of recognized, Colin Sexton's lack of, defensive responsibility after a made basket.
Right.
It's something they probably saw on film, but I mean, by the fourth quarter, they'd cleaned that up and they were doing a much better job. And
look, they beat the second best team in the East record wise by 25 points going
away. Yeah, absolutely. So. Going away. And there were so many heroes in that one. I mean, first, you had Kevin Love with an 18 rebounds. How many charges did he take? Four?
Four, yeah.
I
think the Cavs had seven as a team, though.
Yeah. I mean, just they were just out of control into the paint, and the Cavs, you know, another thing they probably saw on film, and a lot of them looked like they hurt, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what was it? Pascal Siakam seems like he gets his knee high every single time he drives in. I mean,
Yeah. All these guys are long.
Oh,
Siakam and Leonard and Ananobi and
Ibaka,
even that
Boucher
guy that they have.
Bobby Boucher?
Yeah, exactly. They all Powell. They're all
super
long.
No, that is his name,
and
Chris Boucher.
Chris Boucher.
That's some high-quality H2O.
No, but they just, I don't know, the Cavs bench just, the bench was great. The starters were great. It was just a complete all-around game for the Cavs, and they just seem to be having a really good time out there.
Yeah,
and they should be.
And a fantastic game by Ante Zizic, who absolutely owned Marc Gasol. I mean, Marc Gasol minus 11, 2 points.
Marc Gasol looked like the ghost of Marc Gasol.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened. I just don't know what happened to him.
He got old. I mean, seven board. How old is Marc Gasol? I mean, I think he's like 32.
Is he 36?
No. That's Paul.
He's 34.
Yeah, he's 34, so it's not like, you know, he's a spring chicken. I think Paul Gasol was 36, but Mark, you know, he had 7 boards and 4 assists, but he couldn't buy a basket. I mean, he was 1-6. The other thing that helped the Cavs immensely is it is a make-or-miss league, and Toronto missed a ton of shots, especially from their bigs. I mean, I think I wrote that their center spot basically went 0 of 8. From downtown, big man, and then plus Norman Powell, another 0-3 from downtown. And while the Cavs
and Jeremy Lin is just not a good 3-point shooter.
Yeah, and the Cavs were just in fuego, 18 of 41 for 44%.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, I was wrong. Colin Sexton was 4 of 7 that game, and then 4 of 4 from the field or from the line, 5 assists, 28 points, just a superb game. Like. So they were talking about it after the game. Everybody kind of decided that Collins' play of the game was the one where he raced down the court, and then there was kind of 3 guys in the paint, so he kind of
He dunked it.
No. He peeled back and hit a trailing Kevin Love, who drained a left-wing 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And if you listen to the Cavs feed, it was Mike Fratello said, that's Kevin Love's favorite spot on the break. The left wing 3, and it was perfectly executed. And I guess when it happened, Colin kind of like grinned over at the bench at all the coaches, because that's what they've been trying to get him to do. And it's like, I you just gotta love that attitude, like a desire, like that's coachability to me. You know what I mean? It's not like I don't have to challenge a coach all the time. I know they have my best interests at heart. You want to please and you want to be there, do the right thing for your teammates, and make the right play to win the game. I mean, that's just fun, and that's kind of who I feel like. I mean, he's a coach's kid too.
Well, I think that should lead you to the next thing, which I know you've tweeted about and talked about, but you know, this idea of little Larry Drew seems to be really, really getting to these guys and teaching them.
Yeah, and in some respects, it is also his teammates. I think, you know, Larry Nance and Kevin Love and Channing Frye are really nice leadership core for that team, and have really kind of laid the framework of a culture of accountability. And, you know, I don't, and I will also include Tristan Thompson in that, because he's kind of been the cheerleader off the bench, but he has a strange situation. So I don't know how much he's part of that, but I really feel like I feel that from those other guys. And, but the other thing is the coaches putting those guys in the position to have that authority and have their effect on their teammates. So that, yeah, fantastic job by Larry Drew. I mean, at least in terms of,
you think he deserves to come back?
I think he does. I would like to see what he could do with a full season.
Well, two rookies, right? I mean, you're gonna have, the Cavs are gonna have probably a pick in the top 1 to 4 or 5, and then another pick
sometime between 24 and 30. So
yeah, so that's gonna be two new additions to the team. You're gonna have to integrate and figure out, and yeah, I mean, they have a nice young core. They're gonna add to it. Might not be the worst thing in the world. I don't know if I'd give him a 5-year deal, but I might give him a 3-year deal.
Yeah, like, yeah. And that being said, there are certain members of the coaching staff that I don't want to be there anymore.
yeah, me too.
I'm not going to name names, but the Cavs defense is still not stellar. They still give up far too many dunks, and they were doing something tonight that drove me insane. Like, I just don't understand why you play so high up on Ben Simmons. Like, why? And I get you don't want to let him get a running start, but he was just dusting. Like, they were going over the pick and roll on Ben Simmons. And I'm like, why would you ever go over a pick and roll on Ben Simmons? Like, yeah. Just make him make that shot every time.
Yeah. And it's a learning process.
It is. And part of it, you may say, hey, the Cavs, we know our guards don't adjust well defensively. We just want to kind of pick one scheme and stick with it because we think they have a chance to win this game. But, you know, it was poor defensive coaching, in my opinion. And you know, poor defensive execution. So,
yeah.
But going back to the Toronto game, I mean, Cavs did a really – they beat up Kyle Lowry. I mean, he twisted his ankle twice. They were challenging in shots in transition. I mean, they were going after every ball at the rim. They didn't give up a lot of dunks. They defended the three ball well, although I felt like Toronto missed a lot of open looks.
Yep.
But and Kawhi Leonard played really well, and they still lost. You know,
yeah.
He
wasn't great on his threes, but yeah,
he's still 3 of 8. I mean, that's not terrible.
Yeah, no, he was fine, but like you could tell he didn't look as interested.
Yeah, well, he was just coming back from load management. So
yeah, that's my new favorite. Like,
and I think that team invented it. Like, it's just a terrible term.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful. So yeah, it was a really fun game. Let's talk about some of the other you know, Brandon Knight, another game getting his floater done going. The Cavs had 4 guys with 5 assists or more.
Yeah.
Osman, Sexton, Brandon Knight, and Nick Stauskas. And Stauskas had had another really nice game, 2 of 7. He went in and he started out 0 for 4, I think, from the field, and then hit a big 3 after he'd missed the 3 wide open ones before that, and kind of the whole crowd went crazy. I mean, Well, did you read the tweet about how the Cavs got more cheers for Channing Frye coming into the game at the end of the game than LeBron got for breaking Michael Jordan's record in L.A.?
Yeah. But that's not surprising, knowing L.A. fans.
I know, but that's just, I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah. But look, that's the thing. You've got a guy that is intrinsically attached to a championship, the only championship that a city's ever won, who has announced his retirement, that fans genuinely love.
Yeah.
Getting that applause versus LeBron, who's in a city that has no connection to his championships.
Well,
Sorry,
I keep interrupting you. I apologize.
That's all right. The connection to the what they look at as abject failure this year, because everybody, once LeBron decided to go to L.A., every Lakers fan, even if they were Kobe stans, every Laker fan was excited again to say, oh, we're going to go back to the playoffs again. Hey, mate, we might even have a shot at the title, because LeBron always goes to the finals.
Yeah.
And then to have this be the outcome of that, they already knew, the writing was already on the wall when he passed Michael Jordan. So they're like, yeah, well, why should we cheer? Like, you know, what's the big deal? Like, yeah, you know, if nothing else, they're going to be upset next year when he passes Kobe if they aren't going to the playoffs. Like, imagine that weird scene at Staples Center if he passes Kobe and the Lakers are somehow also not making the playoffs next year.
That would be a very odd scene.
But entirely plausible.
Oh, I'm not arguing.
It could absolutely happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was crazy. I mean, and going back to the Cavs, I mean, that crowd was lit too. I mean, they were for a Monday night game. I mean, part of it was it was our first good weather Monday, like the first time we saw the sun in a while. Plus, the daylight savings time had kicked over, so everybody had a little more sunlight that day. So, you know, there was positive vibes all around in Northeast Ohio the first 2 days of this week. First 2 days of this week. So it was definitely, definitely a fun energy to that game. And I really felt like the crowd kept them in it. And also, like you said, Kevin Love, I mean, Not only is there Kevin Love, but Channing Frye. Kevin Love chose to stay, and Channing Frye chose to come back. And I think that's part of the reason those guys are beloved.
Well, they brought Deli back, too. Another guy that gets massive cheers.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And just...
they're building... You know what they've done is they haven't built necessarily a winning team this year, but they built a pretty likable one.
They built on and off the court.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
A couple polarizing TMZ figures aside. I'll just leave it at that.
I know. But you know what? Tristan's never said a bad word about Cleveland.
Nope.
He's only – in his interviews, he only talks about how resilient the city is, how great the city is, how much he loves being here. I know. Look, I get it. I know. I mean, he's got his issues. But you look at it and you say – I mean, every time I hear Colin Sexton talk, like early on, it would bother me that he was so kind of like unfazed by the losing or the bad performances. But now he's the same guy, right? Like when they interview him now that he's scoring like 25 points a game and his shots going down and the Cavs have actually started to win a few games since Kevin Love came back. He's the same excited kid. Like he still comes out and he treats it the same and he's like, yeah, I'm just learning and. You know, it's a great
experience. I appreciate that positivity. Like, and I appreciate that, you know, in some respects, you look back and you go, hey, the kid's excited to be there. He's excited. He's living his dream of starting for an NBA team. And he doesn't know any better about what we've gone through for the last four years. And, you know, let him be excited. So, you know.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of ways, not having LeBron around and not having those expectations is really helping him. I mean, I don't know what his situation would be like if we were going through what we went through for the last 4 years, but I got to think he would not be nearly as far along on his development path.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, I mean, Cavs, six guys in double figures last night. Ante, Kevin, Chetty, Colin Sexton, and Jordan Clarkson, who played a really, really good game the night before, only took 11 shots as opposed to the 20 he took tonight, and a much more controlled game. David Nwaba with 9 points, another, I mean, he almost had a single-handedly had a comeback against, was it the Magic the other night?
Yeah.
Where he had a huge game. I mean, David Nwaba really been playing
very well,
very good basketball. I don't think you'd get any argument from anyone that follows the Cavs or probably anyone on the team that he's their best perimeter defender.
Oh, for sure. And he's a restricted free agent this summer?
He is, yeah.
Yeah. And, so they can match and bring him back.
Yeah, and I had heard a rumor from that the Cavs, and this was from a Miko report, that the Cavs brass was not that enamored of him. And I'll admit I heard this rumor on the comment thread secondhand, and they want somebody who can score a little better. And I'm like, you get a cheap 3-and-D guy who plays really hard. What? You know, you're not going to probably sign him for more than $4 million a year. It kind of seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, no one's breaking the bank to sign Nwaba anywhere.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
I mean, it'd be silly to give him up. I mean,
yeah,
he's done. I mean, look, he had trouble staying healthy early on, but man, since the beginning of the year, like his presence has been great. Like him and Dele coming off the bench has been. It just raises the level of ball sharing and, you know, intelligent play out there.
And
so.
And defense, team defense for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when combined with Nance. So
yeah, no question.
Yeah, I mean, team, like you said, is really likable. They're shooting really well. I mean, the number of threes have gone way up that they're shooting since the All-Star break. They're also shooting really well at the line. They were 20-21. Last
yep.
night, I don't know. Do you have this game, tonight's game stats in front of you?
Yeah.
What were they from the line tonight? Because they look pretty good there too. I mean, the thing to me that's really impressive is even these end of the bench guys like Stauskas are playing well.
Yeah. No, from the line tonight they were. Hang on. They were. They only went to the line 6 times. They were 6 of 8.
Yeah. Well, and that was part of. The Cavs could not buy a call in Philly.
I mean, honestly, they only blew the whistle like once in the Cavs' favor in the first yeah. like 18 minutes of the game. It was insane.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And I'd give Larry Drew credit, and it probably he knows it doesn't matter, and in the long term, the Cavs are probably better off not winning, or you know.
Oh, for sure.
Entertaining victories. So he's not going to make a big deal about it. But man, that would drive me insane.
Yeah.
And Philly is a tough place to play for that. I mean, the best moment of the game was when their fans booed him off the court.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Or well, it's Philly. I mean, they booed Santa Claus, right? So
the other fantastic moment. Let me finish. For the fans was when. They have that promo where if in the second half a team misses two free throws,
chicken sandwich,
Jordan Clarkson missed two, but they called it back because Boban Marjanovic had a lane violation.
Of course, it was Boban. You can't move that guy.
Oh my gosh,
he's like a ladder in the middle. You just throw the ball to the ladder and he'll just put it in.
So what were you saying?
No, I was gonna say the guy that really impressed me that I hadn't seen him play that much was James Ennis. Man, that guy's good.
And he's got some hops.
He's gonna win them a playoff game or two this season, I think. Like especially when Butler's not at his best, and he doesn't seem like he has been really. I mean, Harris has been good. He's been scoring a lot. He didn't have a big game tonight. He was mostly trying to defend tonight. But man, Ennis. He would come up with. I mean, he's crafty near the basket. He had 4 offensive rebounds. Like he just really good positioning, really athletic. 7 rebounds, 12 points. I mean, he was plus 13 for the game. So, I mean, he other than Embiid, he'd probably get the game ball. I would think. Like I don't know about you. I'm not impressed with Simmons. I feel like Simmons is one of those guys that, you know, it's predictable what he's going to do. And the Cavs just didn't have enough big guys to stop him and Embiid tonight.
Well, I think the other thing is Simmons seems very easy to scheme for in a playoff season series.
For sure.
And you saw Boston really did that last year. Plus, you can hack a Simmons. Like, if the Cavs really cared about winning that game, they probably would have. Although,
yeah,
he was,
I mean, of course he made his free throws tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. But look, I mean, it seemed like a, like, it's funny, like, like, the Cavs really, for once, had Tony Brothers and the refs on their side in the Toronto game. Like, you could just tell how frustrated the Raptors were getting with all the charge calls that they were making. Yeah. And, you know, and I've never been a big Tony Brothers fan, but he was definitely a fan of Cleveland on Sunday. But, well, yeah, tonight it was unconscionable how much these refs let them play tonight.
Yeah, and Embiid was just straight mugging guys, and the free throw count still evened out, or yeah, the foul count, sorry,
because they were count, not the free throw count. Yeah,
they were at the line 17 times, and the Cavs were there 8. I mean, it was just. Or how about the one that drove me nuts was the one where Chetty in the first half got pushed from behind on that 3.
Oh yeah,
and then they didn't call it, and then you just had the total flop by Redick.
Yeah.
when Knight got too close to him and he, yep. Oh, let's give him 3 free throws. And I was like, really? Like, come on. Yeah. If you're going to call that, call it both ways.
Or that foul they called on Ante against Simmons.
Oh, when, yeah.
Like, Simmons was basically losing the ball. Like,
yeah, and Ante basically just bodied him up lightly and Simmons, like, fell over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine though. Look, this is exactly
and
the kind
got
of game
a shooting
you want
foul
to see.
Out of it.
It's exactly the kind of game you want to see from your young Cavs. They even though they were in a hole, they fought back. They got the lead. They were within 1 point with under a minute to go, and you know, ultimately Embiid made star plays, got star calls, and they lost on the road by 7 on a second night of a back to back against, you know, they played 2 of the top 4 teams in the
East.
In the East, and acquitted themselves nicely and still preserved some of their lottery positions. So
absolutely, and it's funny because, I mean, like you said, Toronto definitely. I mean, that they played Toronto, I feel like, more physically than I've seen them play any team all year. Yeah.
Like, Toronto was playing like it was a playoff game.
Yeah, they were playing hard. Well, I think, like, from the second quarter on, because I felt like they kind of got in a lull and didn't expect the Cavs to give them as much fight as they did. And then they're like, sure. Oh, crap, we got to fight on our hands.
But even and, still, it made me start to reevaluate my pro-Toronto stance for the for the finals. I've watched enough of their games lately that it just – I have noticed what people have talked about, the Kawhi being a little aloof. Yeah, or just disengaged. I mean, and a lot of load management games and a lot of, you know, sort of games they're losing that they shouldn't be if they want to get the home court over Milwaukee, who won again tonight. Milwaukee did. Scored another 130 points. So, of course, they were playing New Orleans, who I think played Anthony Davis about 10 minutes this game.
That whole situation, I do not understand in the least.
He played 21 minutes and he scored 21 points and 12 rebounds. That's insane.
That is a bizarre situation. So and we've beaten it to death. But yeah, I mean, Kyle Lowry just, you know, beat up twice last night. Pascal Siakam had a decent game, but you know, couldn't get it going from outside.
Yeah.
Cavs really defended the paint well on the drives. Like I said, I mean,
They traded CJ Miles away in the
I call him now, CJ Dadbod Miles, because I don't know if you saw him when he was in Memphis. He does not look like he keeps in the same shape in the offseason that Vince Carter does. Like,
oh wow.
I was like, whoa, he's gained
a
little weight.
Good.
No, yeah, especially at that age. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Maybe the Gasol thing will backfire on him because Jonas was playing pretty well as a center. And
well, I feel like part of the whole thing with Gasol is he's a free agent at the end of the year, and part of what they want to do is if they can't re-sign Gasol and or Leonard, or Ann Leonard, they actually have a ton of cap. They have enough cap room. They're probably not going to get a free agent to sign with them, but they can probably trade for a player at that point.
Right. Maybe they can trade to get DeRozan back.
Who, looking up, San Antonio has beaten Dallas. Dallas is my sneaky kind of favorite team out west right now. Cause
shocking to me that they would be. I would never have guessed that.
Why is that?
Just because of Porzingis and Doncic and all these other Euros that you love.
I like Jalen Brunson a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Has he been any good? I haven't watched him at all.
He has been okay. Been a lot better since Smith Jr. left. So.
Right.
But yeah, they're my sneaky team for the Tristan Thompson trade. So.
Oh.
So that's I really want to see Tristan Thompson go somewhere else next year.
Oh wow, Jalen Brunson had a huge game tonight.
What do you have?
It was 34 points, 12 of 16 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3.
Yeah, I wanted that was
part, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Wow.
Yeah, that
Oh my god, Luka had 9 turnovers though.
Yeah.
Ooh, I told you he was bad. 1 for 9 from the free throw line, 1 for 7 from 3, 5 for 8, 18. Ugh. Luka Doncic terrible.
I mean, I that's part of the reason I didn't want the Cavs to give up a first round draft pick late for in the Larry Nance trade was because I really liked Jalen Brunson. I thought he would be there late, but
he was
there late. But hey, you know what? I'm liking this team the Cavs have right now, and
me too. They're fun to watch.
They're fun to watch. Colin Sexton, I'm really excited to see what he becomes. That's one of the things that, I mean, really underrated season compared to last season, that the regular season's actually fun this year. You value victories are not expected. You know what I mean?
So whenever they pop up, they're fun?
They're fun. Even when they play hard and lose, they're fun.
Do you think that I have a sneaking suspicion that not getting named to the first and second year player team at the
Rising
All-Star game, Rising Stars game, had an impact on Sexton?
Maybe he
reevaluated and said, maybe I'm just not, I need to do something better. I need to refine my game more because clearly I'm not being considered one of the better rookies, even though I got taken eighth overall.
Well, the funny thing is what did somebody on the live thread tweeted? They did a redraft, or not tweeted, but commented that they did a redraft on SI.com, and that Colin said, it was of the lottery, and Colin Sexton wasn't taken.
Wow.
but that Mo Bamba still went number 5.
That's insane to me. Mo Bamba has been garbage this year.
Yes, he has.
And Ayton hasn't been that good lately either.
Yeah, Ayton's been very hit or miss. I mean, it's very interesting. Trae Young, much better of late, looking very good at times. I mean, especially with the passing, which has been there all year, but his field goal percentage is notched up. And that Hawks team has got a bright future with John Collins and
DeAndre. Collins is going to be a superstar, man. That guy's amazing.
Yeah, well, and the crazy thing is you look at Collins, where was he drafted? He was drafted in the teens.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you can find stars.
You can find...
You just have to do your research.
And you got to get a little lucky, but yeah. Totally. I mean...
Well, Donovan Mitchell, even though he hasn't had a great year this year.
He has had an okay year.
Not in respect to his rookie
year, but you got to realize he's getting so much more attention, and they've played really well lately. The other thing is that team has had one of the harder schedules in the NBA. So a lot of teams, because their schedule is lighter late, or a lot of analysts, because their schedule is lighter late, think they have a real good shot of decent playoff seeding. So,
right.
So yeah, I mean, another team I like, Utah, shocking.
And Denver, I'm sure.
I like Denver. I like their squad. I just can't get up for watching them that much. I don't know. I'm not a huge, the Joker's entertaining, but I've never liked Will Barton.
Really?
I don't know why. Mainly, you want to know why? This is why. So when we were doing a lot of draft stuff over at Got Buckets, we did a whole bunch of stuff on Combine. And, like, literally, Will Barton had, like, the worst Combine ever. So it goes to show you how much stock you should put in the NBA Combine. So, right. And that's why I don't like Will Barton by Nate Smith. So, but, yeah, Denver not – I don't know. They just don't do it for me.
By the way, I'm with you. I'm not a big Denver believer.
It's not that I'm a believer. I just have never gotten up for watching Denver games. The only series I ever got up for was when Robert Pack and Dikembe came back on the Sonics from being down.
Oh, right.
2-0, I think.
Right.
They were one of the only one seeds to beat an eight or eight seeds to beat a one.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think the only team that I think it's gonna be Golden State and Houston again.
In the West?
Yeah.
Yeah. So who's coming out of the East now? Is it still Toronto?
I don't know. I'm really wavering on those guys now. I'm really bummed out that Depot got injured because I liked how the Pacers were playing. But yeah, I mean, I guess I'll have to, like, clubbing with the crowd and say probably Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm going for Milwaukee too, but
it's weird. Like, I actually think Boston's one of those teams that gives Milwaukee a hard time.
Yeah.
And they might wind up matched up in round two, which could be a problem for them.
The other thing about Boston is they do, I feel like they do have a little bit of playoff Cavs in them in that they've gotten bored with the regular season.
Yeah.
And they, you know, manufacture drama and, you know, deal with a bunch of BS, you know, as a team with two Kobe disciples would. So, yeah, I could definitely see him coming out of the East. Mainly because I don't know if they have a closer, although I saw some stat that, like, Chris Middleton is one of the best ISO players in the NBA. Like, he's
really,
yeah, he's like number one in points per possession, which is insane.
Yeah,
which I never would. It was like 1.4 points per possession. Now, I think part of it is because they don't ISO him that much. But I was really surprised by that number. So maybe that's a guy who's their go-to guy in the playoffs. But
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, no, and I'm excited for the playoffs. I mean, I'm watching with no rooting interest in the Cavs anymore, so I can kind of, you know, more follow general storylines, and kind of like when you know, a little bit before the, not kind of like, but before LeBron came back, you know.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to think, when did they trade Waiters? Oh, they traded Waiters after LeBron came back. So
it was halfway through that. It was before the trade deadline. It was in the JR and Shumpert trade. It was like an extra part of that trade.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the playoffs a little bit. And it's looking like, you know, the picture is crystallizing a little bit. You know, with Utah four games up on Sacramento for the eighth spot.
Yeah. So
Sacramento is probably going to have to really make a charge to get in there. And then
I think they have they only have like 6% chance now based on BPI odds.
Yeah. And for the East, Miami is,
I think Miami's going to make it.
Well, they're a game ahead of the Magic right now. They're for the eighth seed, and then a game and a half ahead of Charlotte.
I remember reading the Magic had an easier schedule, though, coming up.
Yeah, they could. I mean,
everyone seems to be losing, though. Like, there's really a kind of gap.
Well, what was the stat they said today on the game? It's going to be the first losing division winner with a losing record, most probably since the merger, or since the 70s.
Who's that?
The NBA, because that Southeast Division is probably going to have a losing, the winner's probably going to have a losing record.
Right, because it's Miami, Orlando, or Charlotte.
or what? Yeah,
Atlanta, right?
Atlanta, yeah. I think. Yeah, so that, I mean, that's crazy. And the Washington.
Maybe not the Magic, but the Heat are only four games under.
Yeah,
right now they could make that up.
That's hard to do, though. How many games do they have left? They have 16 games left. So, yeah, they would have to go. What's 16 minus 5? Oh, they'd have to go 11-5. So
11-5. Well, yeah, that's not easy either. They got Detroit, Milwaukee, Charlotte, OKC, at OKC, at San Antonio, at Milwaukee. Yeah, they might not do it.
Yeah.
Yikes. Boston twice, Toronto, Philly, Brooklyn. These are all playoff teams. They only play like two that aren't, I think, in Dallas and New York.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Brooklyn, what the...
Brooklyn, what they've been one. They won their last four.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy story. I mean,
They had to eventually become decent.
Oh no,
right?
Great. They literally made a team out of nothing because they had no draft picks. For
your
so
favorite,
long.
Caris LeVert, right?
Did you
keep him on your team?
I did, but he's not doing that well. How are you doing in fantasy? Did you win last week?
I did win last week, and I'm winning this week, which would, if I win this week, I'd get to the championship game.
Nice.
Even though I finished under 500 for the regular season.
I will say this is
I had a rash of injuries, though. Like, Depot was my big star, and, you know, Towns was terrible early, but he's come on. I don't know. Just had a lot of injuries, so.
Yeah, I took I was in that spot right after Dettacumbo was taken, and it was down to Kawhi and Kevin Durant, and I took Kevin Durant, and it's probably a wash at this point, but it still is like, I just have a lot of not very good players on my team. You know, a lot of tryhards. Shocking, I know, that I have a team full of tryhards.
I am shocked.
But yeah, it's fun. So, any other burning questions for the NBA or the Cavs? Anything you want to talk about?
No, I'm just kind of. I've had the appropriate amount of basketball this year. I feel like, you know, I'm fine that the season's ending in 15, 16 games. That, you know, we can look forward to the draft and the summer and seeing what happens with, you know, and I think it's going to be an interesting playoffs, and I think it's going to be an interesting free agency and draft. You know, I mean, we've never seen this kind of like three guys on the same team that could possibly go in the top, you know, four or five. Like, that's pretty incredible, and I'm excited to kind of watch some of the March Madness and see some of the stars come out of that. Guys that could be maybe not for that top five pick, but for that 25-ish pick.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, after the top five, those guys are all jockeying for draft position now, because a lot of people are saying that after, you know, the top five or however many, it's there's 20 guys who nobody can really tell the difference between after that. So it's a deep draft, but it's not very top heavy. So
right.
Or it's very top heavy, rather, you know, especially with 270 pound Zion there.
Yeah. I saw a mock the other day that had the Cavs taking, Daniel Gafford with the Rockets pick. It's not a bad idea.
Who's that?
That big center for, I'm going to forget where he plays, but, he's a 7-footer.
Well, my only thought on that is the Cavs should not draft a center unless they are getting rid of one, because they already have three.
They don't have a true center.
Well, I would say Zizic is a true center.
Yeah, I guess. Only 6'10", though.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah.
Gafford is... he's a 6'11". He's 6'11". He plays for Arkansas.
Okay, so...
He's averaging 17 and 8 or 9 this year.
Okay. So who's the guy that you absolutely don't want the Cavs to take?
Ball.
I knew that was the guy.
How'd you know?
Because we just talked about Mo Bamba.
Oh, okay. No, Ball looks like a guy. He's an injury waiting to happen.
Yeah, I mean, he just looks like he's got
7'7" with bad feet.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good, that's not a good combination.
No, no. And with matchsticks for legs, like his dad.
Yeah. No, thanks. Ball, ball.
I set you up for that. I got to admit it. I'm not a big Reddish fan. I don't know what he does well. And Zion Williamson's absence from that team has really kind of put the spotlight on him not being that good of a player. So, we'll see. I mean, I think the number one and two is still Zion and Garrett, you know.
I don't know. Ja Morant's pretty good, man.
Yeah, Ja Morant is looking really good. Now, here's a question. If you're the Cavs and you're sitting there at two or three, I mean, I think if you're at two, you're probably taking Garrett, although
I don't know, man.
Is Garrett a three or a four? That's the real question.
You mean Barrett?
Barrett, that's what I meant. Sorry.
I'm like, who's Garrett?
No, I meant Barrett. Sorry. You know my right. names.
I know. I'm thinking BPA. I think I love Colin Sexton now, but he's not necessarily a point guard. So if Ja Morant's there, or Ja, however you want to say it, I don't know. I think he's probably the second best player in the draft right now. And if the Cavs are at two, I'd expect him to take him. And, you know, you can never have too many guys that can handle the ball. So
that is true. I'm really interested to see what he can do in the NCAA tournament for sure.
Yeah. But like, look, if he winds up being one of those primo point guards that comes out, I mean, so you move Sexton and Morant,
or you play Sexton off the bench.
I meant not Sexton. You move Clarkson.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sexton becomes the new Clarkson, but just a better, just with better instincts.
Part of the problem, I mean, part of the reason that is problematic is Sexton is a generous 6'2", and Clarkson's a legit 6'5".
What's Morant though? He's pretty tall, I think.
No, he's only 6'3", but I mean, obviously, an extremely.
Oh, Kyrie's 6'3". I mean,
and yeah, he's an extremely athletic 6'3". So,
yeah,
I mean,
we'll see. I mean, there's lots of things you can do, but yeah. I don't know. I'm not about taking Barrett just because I haven't been that impressed with Barrett, to be honest. Like, I think he's had some rough shooting games against not great teams.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really interesting. It feels like the first tier is right after top three with those three guys. Although, who does NBA Draft Net has Rui Hachimura?
Oh yeah,
from Gonzaga.
Yeah, so, I like that guy, but he's not exactly. I mean, he's one of those tweeners.
And Gonzaga's falling apart right now, which doesn't help.
They haven't projected to go to Boston, I think, with their Sacramento pick or whatever they have.
And I guess Barrett is a wing. He's 6'6", so
yeah.
Certainly fills a position of need for the Cavs.
If he's there at three and the Cavs are three and Zion and Morant been taken, then yeah, Barrett's the choice, I would think.
Yeah.
But, you know, do your research. Like, I hope Kobe Altman and his team are really paying. I mean, it sounds like they are. Like, he was at the Ja Morant game the other night, so he's clearly out there looking at guys. And, you know, I don't think they can really go wrong. They'll get a nice.
Oh, they can definitely go wrong. I mean, we've seen a slew of guys taken high that aren't any good. I mean,
I guess so. I guess they could go wrong, but I think the chances are decent anyway, so they'll come away with a pretty good player, and then could come away with a nice steal in the 20s if they play the cards right.
Yeah, a lot of people like Nassir Little too, so we'll see what happens, and hopefully we'll get started with some. I definitely think we're going to start scouting the NCAA tournament coming up, and
it'll
be fun to be like, we haven't even thought about the draft in 4-5 years. I mean, it's been an afterthought for
really
sure.
Since Wiggins, right?
Yeah.
That was 2014. Oh,
and you remember 15. The arguments. I mean, people were ready to draw blood over Wiggins versus Parker, and now it just seems like that was like, now it's like, who would you rather get rid of first, Wiggins or Parker?
Exactly. Well, so, we'll have to get Ben back on the scouting the Euro players. Now
we'll have to get a low audio quality podcast from Ben on a train somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
From an undisclosed location. So. Yeah, it should be a fun off season for sure. And we're going to have summer league. I don't think Colin Sexton, I don't think he's going to play in summer league. I think he's kind of beyond that point.
Yeah, I don't think he needs to play.
Although the only thing I might see is if they really want to get him to work on his point guard skills, and running an offense. And then you might see like they did with Chetty last year where they
like play the first like two or three games and then
three or four games and shut him down. Yeah.
Yeah, that might make sense.
Well, and, you know, if they win in the summer league, it can be just like Magic and the Lakers. The Lakers are back when they win in the summer league. You remember that quote?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love the hubris. It never gets old. So anything to pitch, EG?
Well... Obviously, the new site design, which you pulled off pretty well, I was impressed with how you made the whole changeover. I know there were some glitches, but that's to be expected.
The funny thing was, so we were having some problems, and I'm not sure they are all fixed, but that is why I started searching, because one of the things that happened is our WordPress theme, and I know you didn't mean for me to segue into my soapbox, but I will.
That's okay.
But our WordPress theme was old and had not been updated since 2015. And of course, WordPress has been in a constant state of updates. And then also our comment system had not been updated in about 2 years because of, it was incompatible. The newer updates were incompatible with our old WordPress theme. So with all the issues we were having, I was like, well, those are the first things I got to look at. So it was like literally on the fly trying to do this. So it was about an 8-hour evening of just frantically trying to get this fixed. So I will say that for having done it on the fly with no prep, I'm a little bit proud of myself because I did feel like it came off pretty well in terms of the theme and everything and the look and feel. So thank you for the compliment.
Of course. No, I'm really thrilled with the new look. You know, I mean, obviously you get used to something over time, but I love I really love the banner update, you know, with the throwback colors and it certainly is. I wish that the Tide Pod uniforms would, you know, utilize something that cool, but it's a lot. I find it's actually, once I got used to it, a lot easier to read and navigate. So
awesome. Well, thanks.
So that's a cool thing. And then I
as someone who worked really hard on it, I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was so that theme is a pay theme, but that was their free version, and that was the only color. And I was like, this color is not going to work with our current color scheme, that light blue and kind of gray they had it. But I was like, that would work really well with the kind of the classic Cavs colors.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's switch this up to the orange and blue. And I was really surprised how well it turned out. So it definitely still has a real Cavs feel with a whole different color scheme, which I really like. Yeah. So
very exciting.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm trying to think if I have anything cool to pitch. Well, there's two more songs that came out on the Vampire Weekend album.
I saw that.
That are all of like a combined like 3 minutes long. So
yeah, they kind of didn't do much for me. So
no, it's sort of like almost like interstitial tease songs or something. But
yeah, they almost
looks like there's 18 songs on the album. So hopefully there'll be more goodness in there somewhere. But
off like B-sides.
Yeah, that's true. And then I don't know. I took my daughter to Captain Marvel and enjoyed it. So
I haven't seen it yet. It was very hard to get a ticket here. So I will. I'm probably taking my daughters next week. So
nice. It's definitely a lot of fun.
We've seen almost all of them in the theater. In fact, the one of the few that we didn't see was Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I, of course, my youngest was sick last weekend, so we kind of had a Marvel movie marathon preparing for Captain Marvel, and we caught up on Ant-Man and the Wasp, which was much better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
It was entertaining. A really good cast, although Paul Rudd, I could watch Paul Rudd in infomercials, and I would be entertained, so.
He does have a good talent that way, so.
Yeah. And so, I'm looking forward to seeing that. So my pitch, and I might have pitched this a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to circle back to it. And it is a band called Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats.
Okay. And I don't think you pitched it to me.
They are a blues and boogie rock band on the Stax record label, the classic Stax record label. And, really just, it's like modern soul music, soul and R&B music, really rocked up, but without like, and there's some modern soul and R&B like the Detroit Cobras that's rocked up and kind of punked out, but this isn't punked out at all. It's really soulful, a lot of really good keyboards, a lot of really good drumming and bass playing. I mean, a little bit of that Booker T and the MGs feel to it with a real soulful singer, but a lot more up tempo. So they have three albums out. Their newest one came out last year, about a year ago, called Tearing at the Seams. And then their self-titled album from 2015 is fantastic. And then there's another album called A Little Something More that was really good. And I haven't listened to their live album, Live at Red Rocks, but everything else is fantastic. So, and that, their self-titled album, I mean, there's like 16 tracks on it and not one of them are bad. So,
nice. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Nathaniel Rateliff, Rateliff, and the Night Sweats. Okay. So
I will definitely check that out.
Yeah. Really cool stuff. So yeah, definitely at the very least, check out the self-titled album, and the one that came out last year, Tearing at the Seams, is also very good. And, I haven't listened to the other two as much, but, I'll give you a report next time, but that's my pitch for the week. So, a good music friend or a good friend of mine recommended them, and I was really excited to check out a new band. So hadn't checked out a new band that really grabbed me in a while. So that was fun.
Nice. I will definitely check that out.
Cool. I don't think we have too much more coming up. When do the Cavs play again?
I think they play, I want to say Thursday, but...
Thursday or Friday?
Let's see.
They play Thursday at 7. They play the Mavericks, or the Magic. And then Saturday they play...
At the Mavericks.
Yeah, at the Mavericks. At the Magic, at the Mavericks. So.
Yeah. A little more of this road trip remaining. Feels like they should win at least one of those games.
Yeah, we get a Luka Doncic sighting, which I know you're excited about.
I can't wait for him to go 1-for-9 again from the line.
You're going to fill up on haterade before that game.
That's right.
it's going to be you.
No, he's been great. He's a clear rookie of the year, I think. Yeah. Although Trae Young's definitely been pouring it on lately.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if he can make up enough ground.
Yeah, and the other thing is that they've won more. I mean... They're definitely have a better team. And Trey was not good for a lot of early on. And
he's been pretty special lately, though.
Oh, yeah. And although he's still a terrible defender and teams don't make him pay as much as they
should. What is he like? He's like 5'7", 160 pounds soaking wet or something like that. I know I'm exaggerating for effect, but still. Yeah. Like,
no, he's over 6.
If Steph Curry's like not great at defense, like Trae Young's like way worse.
Yeah, he is the he's from the Isaiah Thomas, the younger school of defense.
How about that train wreck, man?
Oh, it's so fun. Speaking of reasons I hate Denver.
Yeah. Seriously. Waiting for that Brinks truck. Oh, I hope they got Yen in when he goes to China. So
he's going to be in China next year for sure.
Yeah.
So
he's going to get a billion yen to play in China.
Yeah.
which $200,000.
Well, the other thing that I am so enjoying is this dawning realization. Of course, if the Celtics turn on the playoffs. It'll be different, but the dawning realization that Isaiah Thomas may be the highlight of the last 5 or 6 years for Celtics fans is really fun to watch them come to that conclusion. So it's almost like, I want to say I enjoy like going after Lakers stands on Twitter and stuff, but it's almost like punching the slow kid at school. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not even, it's just sad. It's not even like, there's no joy in it. It's just like, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah. But like, yeah, it's not, there's nothing better than Boston fan turning on the president genius, Brad Stevens.
Oh, it's so absolutely fun.
That tickles me to no end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways,
yeah, that's about it. So as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs and go Browns.
Go Baker. Go OBJ.
Yeah.
Go Dorsey. Hey,
John Dorsey.
And go Tribe. Dorsey. Have you been following him in spring training?
Yeah, they've been. I'm excited about this kid, Oscar Mercado. So.
Okay. Well, go Tribe.
Go Tribe.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger. There's a fire. You lost your home. Where's your partner? And we're out.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.